about it, the mess you've made. Don't wanna let you down, but I am hellbound. Oh, this is all for you. Don't wanna hide the truth. No matter what we breed, we still are made of.
Hey kids, let mom help with your science project.
This new mom wants her kids' science project to thrive. Too bad she hasn't cracked a science book since 1985.
A metathesis reaction?
Compounds, mixtures, and elements. Even this baking soda volcano is too big of an experiment. Whoa. Now she's completely forgotten the periodic table. Now she's burning a hole through the kitchen table.
Burning with science.
But her kids' love for their mom is truly transparent. Proof you don't have to be perfect to be the perfect parent.
Don't tell Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of siblings in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Triple B, Brews, Bros, and Bleachers. I'm your host, Jeff Safford. It's another great afternoon here on the beautiful campus of Dominican University of California. You're here live on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Man, we've just been having some of the nicest weather lately, and I know it sometimes feels like we're at this point, the way it's been the last month or so, sounding like a broken record player a little bit. But hey, I mean, we are in the middle of a so-called, I mean, quote-unquote, picture Dr. Evil with the little bunny ears, you know, El Nino right now. But it surely doesn't feel like we are in an El Nino, and we've had some great weather. The women's softball here on campus and the lacrosse team, tennis team, a couple of the spring sports have all benefited from the great weather. The men's and women's basketball teams just finished up their home campaigns. Congratulations again to all the seniors. Monday night was a special night, senior night. It was great to see all the players. And in the women's game, Melissa Boscarino even made an appearance. She had Miss Boscarina was the starting point guard for the team and blew out her knee in the middle of the year and was somehow able to go out on senior night and make an appearance on the court. He suited up and everything, made an appearance on the floor for about the last 30 seconds of the game. And, you know, she was in tears a little bit. So, you know, shout out to her. Shout out to Danny Weathered. Shout out to all the other seniors on the men's team as well. CSE, Matt Hayes. It was great watching those guys and girls play, and we'll look forward to more DU athletics still this spring. Like I mentioned, softball will be on the air and lacrosse as well, so make sure you tune in for all that. And for our show here this afternoon, we're going to start with some hip-hop news. We're going to talk about some Kanye West information. He had a little beef, big surprise with a big name producer recently. Last night, we're going to keep going with this OJ Simpson thing like we did last week. We're going to talk about episode 4 last night of The People versus OJ Simpson. The show definitely starting to heat up now. The trial has started on the show. We saw some new characters introduced, some changes with who the lead attorney is going to be in the case. So we'll take a look at that. And we'll also take a look at Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods coming in the news. Maybe his return a little bit sooner than other people think, and maybe going a little better than what some people thought. Golden State Warriors, they are in action tonight playing against the Miami Heat. We'll talk about a few things, what they're up to, and look at some of the other stories around the NBA post-trade deadline. We'll look over some of my bets for the week. Hey, my bet of the week last week, did you guys ride? I told you to put your money on Duke, and Duke ended up winning against North Carolina last week. We got another bet coming up this week, and another maybe new sport that you guys haven't looked at before. We'll take a look at it and maybe gives you some ideas. And in our last segment of the show, we'll be looking at our brewery of the week. Again, every week on this show, we'll feature a brewery, different brewery of the week. Last week, Moylan's Brewery was the brew house and beer we took a look at. We'll take another look at a brewery this week. I'm not going to tell you who it is yet. I'll give you a clue. We're headed a little bit north of Marin County for this one, so you'll have to stay tuned to hear all about our next brewery. So let's get this show going, and let's talk about a guy that hasn't come up yet on this show, but is a guy that is very relevant in today's media and in the music industry, Kanye West. I'm sure pretty much everybody that's listening has probably heard of him, but he's a very popular hip-hop artist. I guess you can throw producer, heck, even throw in TV personality now with his wife being Kim Kardashian and his involvement with that whole reality mumbo-jumbo that I don't really care that much about, but it's part of what makes the man famous. He went on a Twitter rant last night, and that's not something that's entirely odd. He kind of rants at a lot of people, and heck, his wife Kim was just a couple of weeks ago was involved in a Twitter beef with Amber Rose, even though that kind of got debunked to be a huge publicity stunt in the end. But anyway, Kanye West attacked famous music producer Bob Ezrin after Ezrin's comments about Kanye West, where he said, quote, his songwriting abilities are not on the same level as other artists / producers in the industry. And he named a few, such as Timbaland, Jay-Z, Tupac, Eminem. He even mentioned MC Hammer. That one kind of that one surprised me, to be honest. I mean, stop Hammer Time. I mean, that's the only thing I know MC Hammer for, and wouldn't think of him as a huge hip-hop name like those other guys. I mean, Marshall Mathers, Eminem, Biggie Smalls, Tupac, Jay-Z, those names kind of speak for themselves, but MC Hammer kind of didn't fit. But anyway, he also said that he is better at living with his mouth open, living his life with his mouth open, meaning that he stays relevant by staying in the public eye in any way possible. And that's the one thing about these comments that Bob Ezrin made about, you know, you can say what you want about Kanye West as a music producer. And I would also agree with with Ezrin's comments there as well, with him saying he's not up to the level of the Timbalands, Jay-Z, Tupac, or Eminem. I would 100% agree with that. Those guys to me are more, they have, you know, I mean, they're legends. I mean, obviously Tupac and Biggie are both dead and have been dead for a very long time, died in the 90s, but their influence on the industry can still be felt today. I mean, if you listen to both of their music, there was just so raw and it just had so much, you know, opinion in it, especially Tupac. He was very opinionated and really set the stage for hip-hop as a genre in a lot of different ways, you know, as it being a way for them to kind of speak out against all the issues that they were dealing with. You know, think about what Tupac talks about. He talks about the, you know, minorities with the police and all of the brutal treatment that they have to go with. And, you know, one of his songs, you know, That's the Way It Is. You know, everybody, That's the Way It Is. Everybody's heard that song, and it talks all about how Tupac just has his fight through life, and Jay-Z is a little bit like that. He talks about living in the streets of New York and growing up that way. Biggie Smalls, another guy that's an East Coast guy, even though he does have links to the West Coast as well when his career got going. But the main thing is you look at those guys and you look at Kanye, and to me, you can't really make a comparison in terms of music. I mean, Kanye's music is very good and, you know, has a lot of fans. He has a lot of, you know, big hits, big records, and, you know, he deserves to be known as a great music guy. But for him to put, I feel like it's, you know, Kanye West, at the end of the day, may make it into the so-called Hall of Fame of hip-hop, but I don't think that he'll ever stand on the Mount Rushmore of hip-hop, so to speak. That's where Tupac, Eminem, Jay-Z, those guys, again, that Ezrin mentioned, I would say that those guys are at the top, and Kanye West is in the group underneath them. And I would agree with that, and also the point where Kanye West is an attention, you know, glutton. He loves attention. He will seemingly do anything to grab attention. He will say, you know, stuff to this, you know, really famous producer on Twitter and just go on these big, long rants. I mean, the guy basically thinks, it seems like he thinks he's the Messiah, and he has an ego the size of Jupiter. Basically, he just goes around and says whatever the heck he wants just to get attention. And that's what I feel is wrong with Kanye West, is that, you know, the guys before him weren't, you know, making music for anybody else. You know, they weren't making it, you know, even for the money. And, you know, you hear guys like Dr. Dre talk about that, you know, it wouldn't matter to him if he wasn't making as much money and doing what he does. You know, is that the thing that was important to him was the music. And that's what makes it authentic, is that those guys were making music because they loved it and because they lived it. And I feel like Kanye West, on the other hand, is doing a lot of what he's doing is because he wants to make money and get rid of that huge debt that evidently he has. I still don't know. That story came up about him too, that somehow he's in debt as well. And I don't know how that's possible. Like, how the heck does Kanye West get in debt? I mean, the man's made so much money off his records. He has clothing companies and all of his other endorsements as well. It's like, seems a little odd. But kind of sticking in the West Kardashian family tree, we're going to move on to talk of O.J. Simpson. That was The People versus O.J. Simpson, episode 4 was last night. Kind of some of the main things that we saw happen in the narrative was the trial is now began. We saw a few key players in the trial were introduced, including the judge of the case. Lance Ito was the judge on that case, and he was kind of introduced as an interesting character. I'd like to know how much truth was behind it. He was introduced as the judge. He comes walking into his office in super casual clothes and wearing, you know, almost like shorts and a t-shirt. I don't know if that was, I mean, I understand this was the 90s, so maybe the 90s was just a little casual, but it just seemed kind of odd to see a big dog judge who was about to, you know, be on the stand for one of the most high-profile murder cases in the history of the United States, being, you know, just kind of walking into his office, yes, I got the case, you know, wearing kind of Joe Schmo clothes. It was kind of interesting to see that. And it was, I'd also like to see how much truth was behind O.J. Simpson's comment on the show when he was first asked, how do you plea? Obviously, that's the, when you're in a case, that's the first thing that happens pretty much is, you know, both the defense and the prosecutors are asked by the judge. Well, first the defense is asked, you know, how do you plea? And then the defense says either guilty or not guilty. In this case, O.J. Simpson's character, Cuba Gooding Jr. had O.J.'s character say, in this case, I would like to see if that's what he actually said when he was asked if he was guilty or not guilty. He said, absolutely 100% not guilty. So, I mean, some people would maybe look at that as maybe not such a big thing, but the way he said it on the show, and I mean, I understand it's a television show and it's supposed to be dramatic, but I was sitting there watching when he said that, you know, and they kind of went right up, and the camera went right to a close shot of O.J.'s, of Cuba Gooding's Chase face at the time, and when he said that, and it was a powerful moment, you know, for him to say it the way he did and with the conviction that he did. You know, it'd be interesting to see if O.J. really had that much confidence and conviction in the real case, or if this is a little bit of drama put in by the producers and FX. But either way, it was a powerful moment in the show. And another really powerful moment, I thought, was the change of lead attorney on this case. Robert Shapiro, who was John Travolta in this show, was replaced by John Coltrane, who was the African-American. He kind of came into the case as sort of a civil rights activist, but has kind of really taken the reins of this case as it's gone along. And he is now kind of calling the shots. And Robert has kind of gone back into the background a little bit. And it was kind of ruthless how he took the case over. He, you know, Robert goes on some vacation to Hawaii, which seems a little odd that he'd be leaving for a vacation in the middle of a huge murder case. That's kind of one odd thing. But he also, when he comes back, his office and all his files on OJ have been completely raided and they're gone. I mean, how ruthless is that? And I mean, like, no message, you know, no call. That's almost like your girlfriend, you know, picked up and left your apartment without you telling you, you know, and you find your apartment and, hey, where's the couch? You know, where's the TV? You know, uh-oh. That's kind of what happened to Robert Shapiro in this situation. And the entrance with Coltrane entering the courtroom, leading the way, it almost seemed like kind of had this feel of like Mariano Rivera coming out of the bullpen, you know, to save a baseball game, you know, had that kind of that, uh-oh, here comes trouble. Or, you know, Madison Bumgarner in Game 7 in 2014, kind of this ominous, oh, no, you know, here comes the sheriff type of deal. And it'll be interesting, you know, the case has just started. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out now as the case, you know, the stage has now been completely set. We've seen the murder. We've seen the Bronco. We've seen, you know, the judge. We've seen now the attorneys in place. And now all it needs to happen is a case. And interesting to watch. And this is, I mentioned the Kardashian West family kind of being roped into this conversation. And here's how is Khloe Kardashian was on a late night television show this week, and she claimed that OJ attempted to kill himself in her room and not Kim's room, as the show shows. And I thought that was a little bit interesting of a thing for her to say, because frankly, who cares? I mean, it's OJ Simpson, like, sure, like OJ, like, killing himself, that's like kind of an iconic moment in pop culture, I guess you would say, and kind of for all the wrong reasons. But why would that be something you would want to be proud of? Like, it's almost like what Khloe is trying to get at least for me, it's like, yeah, I mean, like, OJ tried to kill himself, and in my room, not Kim's. It's like it's a badge of honor. Like, what the heck is that? Like, oh yeah, good for you, Khloe Kardashian. Some guy held a gun to his head in your room. That's a great accolade to have. And if that's, again, not another example of how that family just looks for attention in any way that it can, then I don't know what is. And on that note, we are going to head to a break, our first break of the night. When we come back, we're going to talk a little Tiger Woods and what he's been up to. He's popped up on Instagram today with a kind of an interesting little video. We're going to talk some NBA. We'll talk about the Dubs, talk about maybe a few other teams that might be moving up or may be some trouble when the playoffs come. And we'll talk about a wager, bet of the night, and maybe something that you can bet on in the future. So we're going to take a break. You're listening to Triple B, Bros, Brews, and Bleachers with Jeff Safford. And we're going to be back in just a few minutes. So make sure you stay tuned here on Penguin Radio.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are four times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side, volunteer to read to children, make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Triple B, Bros, Brews, and Bleachers. I'm your host, Jeff Safford, on a Wednesday late afternoon, early evening, or just approaching 5:30 here, local time here in San Rafael. I'd like to thank everybody who's tuned in live at the moment, tuned into our show. And if you missed a portion of this show or any show here on Penguin Radio, you can tune in. You can go on to radio.dominican.edu and click on the link for student shows. And all our student shows will be available in podcast format online. And will be, so this show and this recording will be available shortly after this show airs. So usually within 24 hours at least, the podcast for this show will be available. So if you want to If you missed a portion of the show and you want to re-listen to it, or you just can't get enough of me, then you can check that out. And check out all the other DJs as well. Say no, DJ King was just on earlier talking about kind of pop news and culture around LA and Hollywood, and I heard the Kardashians and what I was talking about with Kanye West earlier, and that whole deal kind of came up on his show too. And you know, that type of pop news, that type of stuff doesn't really pop up too much on Triple B. I mean, we'll see some pop culture from time to time, but if you want more kind of Hollywood gossip news, DJ King is the guy you want to listen to. And he is on right before me from 4 to 5 on Wednesdays, so that would be a good place to start. So we're moving on, and mentioned we talked about Kanye West. We talked about episode 4 of The People versus O.J. Simpson and kind of what's going on in that show. It looks like things are really starting to heat up, and if you're not watching that show, I definitely recommend getting on demand or finding some pirated version online or something and tuning in and watching a few episodes. It's really a fun show to watch, I think, and you know, I think it puts some actors in places they really haven't been before, and John Travolta especially, and you know, it's just an interesting view at kind of a bird's eye view, I guess you could say, of one of the most famous cases in the history of this country. So that's what we just got done talking about. We're going to move on now to a little bit of NBA talk, and we're going to focus a little bit on the Dubs just to start it off, since they're in action right now, actually playing in South Beach in Miami. David Caruso, I'm sure, just kidding, I'm sure if you followed that joke, David Caruso was star on CSI Miami. Anyway, the Miami Heat are off to a good start against the Dubs in Miami, up 51-39 in the second quarter currently. Whiteside having a good start. He has 15, leading all scorers for Miami. Steph Curry also doing well with 14. But the kind of the big news surrounding the Warriors now is their acquisition of a new center. Anderson Varejão comes over from the Cleveland Cavaliers via Portland, I guess you could say, because he was originally traded to Portland in the deal that he was kind of involved in, that whole Channing Frye deal, if you followed what was happening at the trade deadline. And Portland got rid of him because they basically didn't want to have to pay him. His contract was fairly sizable, and for where Portland is with their team, not that they're doing badly. I mean, Damian Lillard has really been playing good basketball. He had that 50-plus point game against the Warriors recently at the Rose Garden, or excuse me, the Moda Center is what they call it now. I still can't believe that. It's like, really, guys? You really had to sell out and get a corporate sponsor? I guess I shouldn't be that disappointed with them, you know, with the organization trying to make some money, but why couldn't Moda have been, you know, taking the high road, kind of like how Sports Authority did in Denver with the stadium? They kept the name. You know, it's still Mile High Stadium. You know, it's Sports Authority whatever at Mile High. So the essence of the place is still there. Why couldn't Moda do the same thing, do the Moda Rose Garden, you know? So it still keeps the name and keeps kind of the tradition alive. You know, that's a little bit off topic, but anyway, Anderson Varejão was sent to Portland, and Portland waived Varejão immediately. Wasn't, you know, a surprise. People expected them to do that, and the Warriors, you know, after he cleared waivers and whatnot, decided to pick him up, and I think that's a good move. Festus Ezeli, their backup center, is hurt again, and that's a guy I really have to feel kind of bad for at this point. He reminds me a lot of actually the starting center for the Warriors and Andrew Bogut, and how Bogut struggled so much, especially earlier in his career, with injuries. I still remember that injury he had when he was on the Milwaukee Bucks. This was probably, probably 5 years ago now, where he was going up, I believe it was for a putback on a rebound, and when he came down, he landed completely on. You know, he tried to catch his falling down from trying to make this putback, and he fell, put all the weight on his arm, and completely just snapped his arm. It was a gruesome injury, almost like Kevin Ware territory, you know, or it was just a ugly injury. And, you know, for guys that used to watch that show MTV, that I forget the name of it now, the lead singer for Papa Roach hosted the show, like, where it was all about, you know, these extreme sport injuries and accidents, and it just basically showed blood, guts, and gore for an hour. You know, basically a guy that would watch that show would love watching Andrew Bogut's injury. It was really gnarly, and really Ezeli has been the same thing. He's really struggled with injury, but when he's been on the floor, the same way Bogut is and was, he's a good center, was a great center, plays physical basketball above the rim, you know, pretty good athlete, good defender, you know, anything you could ask for in a center, but just can't stay on the floor. And will be out long term. The Warriors still not entirely sure how long Ezeli is going to be missing. So, kind of to combat that, the Warriors go out and sign 12-year veteran Anderson Varejão. Really, I can't think of a better replacement for a backup center than a guy like Varejão. He's been in the NBA for a long time and spent his entire career before this with the Cavaliers, which shows kind of how loyal he was to that organization and team. And he did a lot for that organization, took them to, well, not him himself, but was on multiple teams that went to the NBA championship. And what he brings is another veteran, you know, presence in that locker room. And, you know, of course, this team has been to the championship, has won a championship. But the way I look at it, you know, you can never have too few, or too many, I should say, you know, role players. And that's exactly what Varejão can do. He can go out there, and he may not be as athletic as he once was, you know, or have the stamina that he once was. But I definitely think that when push comes to shove, that when it gets down to it in the playoffs, that he can give the Warriors some good minutes down the stretch. And Bogut, who is known to at times get in foul trouble, or, you know, just may need to have a breather off the floor once in a while, he, you know, Varejão will be a good guy to throw out there. You know that he's experienced. He knows how to play the game. He's a guy that's played unselfish basketball, where he hasn't been the go-to guy ever in his career. He's always played in the shadow of a star player, which I think is also a big factor when you look at the Warriors, when they have the, you know, reigning MVP on their squad, and Varejão's played probably the majority of his career with LeBron, you know, him being the best player in the world, and Steph Curry in that conversation. So he knows how to play with stars, and he's, you know, pretty athletic and passes the ball pretty well. So I'll be excited to see what the big man, the big Brazilian, can do. And I think he'll be a great addition to what the Warriors are trying to do, and that is repeat as NBA champions. They got a little bit of an uphill climb, looks like, tonight, but – We've seen it happen in the past that the Warriors could come back in the snap of a finger, so don't go anywhere yet, as some of the other teams that were able to add some at the trade deadline. I mentioned the Cavs. They made a big move with Channing Frye. Mentioned that move last week with Jeff Green headed to the LA Clippers. And, you know, that's one thing that you definitely can see after the trade deadline is that, all right, we've had the All-Star break. You've gone through the trade deadline. Now it's all about the 25-plus games that are left to make that playoff push. And this is where we will really separate the men from the boys, so to speak, in both the West and the East. And there are problems with teams on both sides, and teams have made moves, and there really isn't a lot of, you know, concrete stuff in the West or the East outside of the really top teams. You know, you look at the West, you say, all right, the Warriors and the Spurs, you know, those are the two front runners at this point, almost running away. But what about everybody else? You know, you got OKC in there. Will they get in the mix? They got teams like Dallas that might be able to make a run. Even a team like the Houston Rockets, could they somehow kind of recapture their form from last year? Or, you know, how is Jeff Green going to affect the Clippers? Will Blake Griffin, you know, play well? What will his role be when he comes back? And, you know, we know that his name was thrown around as trade bait a little bit, and you don't know where his head is going to be at. And the Clippers have been enjoying some pretty good success without Blake Griffin, so there's a lot of questions about where he fits in with that organization, and will he be a distraction when he comes back? I don't really think so. I mean, I think Blake Griffin will do a good job, and he's been an all-star his entire career, and let's be real here. The guy is just a freak athlete. I mean, you know, you can say what you want about the guy, but he can flat out just play and plays above the rim, and there are not many Blake Griffins in the NBA. That's for sure. And I'm sure almost any team in the NBA would be just tickled to have a guy like Blake Griffin. And then looking at the East is a little bit the same way. You got the Cavaliers, the top team out on top, you know, kind of running away. But then who else is going to step up? Is it going to be a team like the Pacers? Or are they, with Paul George getting healthy, are they going to be able to make a move with that pretty good backcourt? They got Monte Ellis and George Hill. Will they be able to do something? Or heard Michael Wilbon talking today on ESPN about the Bulls and how he believes Derrick Rose is quote-unquote kind of back. And, you know, how will that kind of fit into the mix, a healthy Derrick Rose? And when Jimmy Butler comes back, that sounds like a pretty good 1-2 punch. And also the team you got to throw in there, I kind of talked about them a little bit last week, was the Boston Celtics. And the Celtics, they're a tough team. Isaiah Thomas, you know, the all-star, first-time all-star point guard. One of those guys always surprised. I was surprised that he had never been on an all-star team before. He's always been a pretty solid scorer in the NBA, played on some pretty crappy teams, but getting a chance to sign here. And all these other kind of rough-and-tumble players they have, the Crowders, the Kelly Olynyks, Evan Turners. I definitely think that team could be a team to watch just because they play the game of basketball the right way. They, you know, they're unselfish with the ball. They're not just trying to play flashy basketball, or they try to focus in on fundamentals. They play kind of the way that you'd expect an old school, you know, championship franchise like the Celtics to play. And it's cool to see a franchise like the Celtics, you know, franchise that's won more NBA championships than anybody else in the mix. It's kind of, if you like them or not, it's exciting to see. It's like when the Yankees are in the MLB playoffs. You know, not many people really like the Yankees, but it adds some extra spice to it. And that's what makes it fun. And speaking of a guy, a person that not everybody likes, but when he's involved in a sporting event, I'm going to switch gears to a different sport and talk about Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods was made a post on Instagram today. Basically, it was a video of him hitting on a virtual reality golf course, which I would basically describe it as a driving range for a really rich guy, where basically you're hitting on like a driving range mat, like you would at any golf driving range around the United States, except you're hitting it at a virtual hole, a screen, and there's computer technology that is able to, based on how you hit the ball, it is able to figure out what the trajectory of the ball would be, what the spin of the ball would be on the green, you know, where, you know, based on wind and all these other factors. Kind of, you know, fascinating, really. But it's kind of a way to almost get out on a course without actually being on the course. It's a little bit, I'd say it would be a little bit more rewarding than just hitting balls on the driving range. So that was basically what the video was. And it came with a caption from Tiger saying that he is progressing well. And to me, it was totally the reason why he posted this was to rebut kind of things that were floating around about him that were saying that he was far from coming back, that his conditions had worsened, that he could, you know, even seeing stuff on social media that we're talking about, he could barely walk and all these really just bleak views about where he was. And, you know, and for any fan of golf and maybe fan of Tiger Woods, kind of put him in a bad mood, I would definitely think. And this, to me, this video was a response to that, you know, saying, hey, you know, I'm out here working, I'm working on my swing, and I'm coming back, and I'm hashtag progressing well. And that's basically what I think Tiger Woods was going for with this post. And I would say mission accomplished. He got it out there. It, you know, his swing didn't look too bad. If you paid attention to the video and where the ball landed in the video, it landed pin high, about, looked like about 5 feet from the hole. So, you know, a great, you know, even if it was a virtual shot, a good shot from Tiger Woods. And I will take, you know, any good sign health-wise from Tiger Woods, I will take it at this point. And, you know, I understand the whole scandal with him and his ex-wife of, you know, the Escalade and, you know, it almost was the O.J. Simpson case of sex scandals. This, I cannot think of a bigger sex scandal than this whole Tiger Woods fiasco was right around Thanksgiving, you know, probably five, six years ago. And just the backlash that came from that. And, you know, regardless of that whole fiasco and his off the course problems, I would love to see Tiger Woods get back into it with golf. Cause I mean, maybe just call me greedy, but I want to see more Tiger moments. I want to see more, you know, red Tiger polo on the 16th hole at Augusta. If you remember that shot, he, you know, hits that chip off the green and just barely trickles into the hole, you know, and get the Tiger pump or the putt on 18 at Torrey Pines at the U.S. Open with a busted knee to tie the U.S. Open against a guy that still, I don't think he's almost ever appeared again after that whole tournament. And yeah, it seemed like feel like that's going to be an ESPN 30 for 30 one day. What happened to the guy that lost to Tiger Woods in that U.S. Open? But yeah, I want to see more moments like that. And like the Yankees, it's just more exciting when a guy like him is involved. And I mean, I understand there are a bunch of great players in today's PGA and young, talented players, an exciting time. You got guys like Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy and Jason Day and Luke Donald, Paul Casey. I mean, all these guys that are in their 20s, maybe early 30s, that are really good players, and players from all over the world as well. United States looking strong. Rory McIlroy from Ireland. Got Paul Casey from Australia. Oosthuizen from South Africa. But none of them, I'm sorry, none of them are even close to the territory that what Tiger Woods was. And maybe nobody will be ever close to where Tiger Woods was. And the dominance, just the pure, utter, just annihilation that he created on the PGA Tour, and just the intimidation factor. It didn't matter how many strokes behind Tiger Woods was on a Sunday. If it was, you know, especially on the big tournaments, the Masters, the U.S. Opens, you know, it didn't matter how far back he was. Just that he is in it was dangerous enough. And it was almost a given that at some point in the tournament, even if he didn't win, Tiger was going to make a push for the front on the last round. And, you know, it's with that Sunday red polo, you know, is just, you know, oof. Almost gives me goosebumps thinking about watching him play. And, you know, like, come on, Tiger. You still got some good years left, I think. And I think that he can, I think he can, I think he still can do it. I think he can still make a run at the Golden Bears record. And I think, and I think he can, you know, and it would be in kind of Tiger Woods fashion, I think, if that happened. That if he were to come back and do this, you know, against all odds, you know, Tiger, how many times would Tiger Woods hit an acrobatic, crazy shot that nobody ever thought he could hit, and he was able to pull it off, you know, against all odds? This, to me, would be it. Everybody's, you know, dogging Tiger. He's done. He's gone. He's just, you know, this to me would be kind of, for it to come full circle would be perfect. And I really hope it does, as getting a little production note in my show, the name of the golfer, and the second I saw it in, when I heard it, it was like, oh yeah, that's the guy's name. Name of the guy that Tiger beat back in the 07 U.S. Open at Torrey Pines in San Diego. The guy's name was Rocco Mediate. And Rocco Mediate, he was a little bit of a presence on the PGA Tour before he played in that tournament, but I definitely haven't heard a word about him since that 07 tournament. So kind of an interesting player there. And sometimes you see that with golf tournaments, and, you know, and NASCAR is another sport. You think about it, you know, I was talking a little bit like Michael Waltrip, you know, where the heck did this guy come from? Rocco Mediate was a little bit of the same thing. All right, so we're going to head to a break. And when we come back, in our last segment of the show, we're going to have our brewery of the week, our brew of the week. So we will reveal who we are going to be looking at after the break. Like I said, a little clue. It has to do with the state of California. The name of the brewery does, and the brewery is north of us here in Marin County. So put on your thinking caps, and kudos for you if you pick out who our brew is this week. So you're listening to Triple B Bros, Brews, and Bleachers here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Take an ordinary putty knife and scrape off the old wax ring. Place the new wax ring over the flange, then line up the bolts with the bowl. and gently set in place, making sure a proper seal is created with the flange and drain. Next?
Dad?
Yeah, sweetie?
Is that an old plumbing manual?
Oh, yeah, honey.
We really need to get some new books.
Right, do you want me to stop?
Nah, I kind of want to know how it ends.
Okay, tighten the bolts, line up the flushing valve to the opening in the top of the bowl, and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Josh Groban. My favorite thing about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. The Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and helps get it to kids in need, but they can't do it alone. Find out how you can help at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Bros, Brews, and Bleachers. I'm your host, Jeff Safford, on this Wednesday evening. I guess you can call it evening now. It's really starting to get dark. I'm kind of liking that it's not so dark anymore outside. It's kind of getting into that period where you're thinking about moving those clocks up. That's always nice. And getting closer to baseball season, the DU softball team is already in action here, and you can catch them live on Penguin Radio on Saturday afternoon and Sunday as well, playing against Concordia Irvine, the first PacWest games of this season. Yours truly will be out there on Saturday along with Lizette Cabrera, and Stu Horn will probably also be out there, and amongst others. It's always kind of a collaborative effort here on Penguin Radio with sports coverage. Again, we like to thank everybody who tuned into our basketball broadcast this season. A lot of hard work and hours, you know, and dedication just to show up at all these games went into it. So thanks again to everybody. And now it's that moment that everybody's been waiting for. It's time for the brew of the week. The brew of the week this week, kind of a drum roll, please. And that's my version of a drum roll, I guess you could say. Our brew of the week this week is, I said it had to do with the state of the California, and the brewery this week is Bear Republic Brewery in Healdsburg, California, my hometown. Got to give a shout out to my home microbrew, don't I, during this show? And it really is a great place to go, and they make great beers. Healdsburg, located in Sonoma County, just about probably 45 minutes to an hour north of here from where we are in San Rafael. And also, if you're a wine fan, Hillsburg has a lot of great wines to try out, a lot of places to go wine tasting. You're going to need your checkbook if you want to stay at a hotel, but there's also a lot of great Airbnb options if you want to find a more reasonable lodging option. But the brewery itself, they do have a brew house where they actually brew the beer on site, and they do have a restaurant as well. So there's a few things to do. You know, it's not all about the beer at the Bear Republic, how you see it. Some other brew houses around the area, Drake's Brewery in San Leandro comes to mind, where when you go and visit it, it's pretty much about the beer. They have a little food cart where they have some French fries and little foods like that, but nothing really too much to speak of. But the Bear, they have, the Bear is what the locals call it. It's just referred to as the Bear by locals, but the full name, the Bear Republic, if you get that reference, of course, the flag on the California flag has the bear on it. So that's the, so it has the, the bear has the flag, had the California flag has the bear on it, and the Bear Republic kind of makes sense with the name. Their flagship beer is a beer called Racer 5. It's an IPA. It's a very good IPA. It's one of my favorite IPAs, and really it's kind of been fun to watch the beer grow, and you know, you see it in more places now. You can even get it on the East Coast. There's brew houses that have it on draft on out on the East, and you can even buy it in a lot of liquor stores on the East Coast as well. But they're not, definitely not a one-trick pony. They have a lot of great beers. Grand Am Pale Ale, that's a great pale ale. It's a little bit bigger of a pale ale. If you picture a beer like Sierra Nevada, let's say, pale ale, where it's, I'm not going to say it's light, but it's definitely, you know, a little bit more of an easier drinker, where this pale ale's got a little bit more body to it. It's a little bit more like drinking an IPA, but it's not to the point where the hoppiness is going to knock you over. So if you want something that's a little bit lighter than Racer 5, then the pale ale would be the way to go. And, you know, I mentioned their food is great. And what I like about their food is that it's a little bit elevated pub grub, I would say. It's not just your average burgers and fries. They make really awesome Parmesan garlic fries that are really great. You know, their hamburgers are really awesome, but they have some kind of a little bit nicer stuff. Like, they have a really nice appetizer options where they have charcuterie type plates and, you know, fresh made wings and, you know, different spin a little bit on sandwich they call the press, which is kind of a chicken sandwich with this whole bunch of cheeses and stuff. So you'll find some salads and some lighter fare as well. So if you have somebody that eats healthier with you, or girlfriend, whoever, you can make them happy too at this place. And they also have beers there that, and a lot of breweries do this, where they have beers you can only get at the brewery and you can't buy it in the store. One of my favorites they have there is a beer called El Oso, which is a Mexican beer. If, as you could have mentioned, El Oso is a Mexican term, and it's kind of that Mexican lager you would imagine Pacifico or a Negro Modelo, or, you know, a beer like that, where you drink it with a lime on a nice sunny day. And it's just a cool place to hang out. It's right in the middle of downtown Hillsburg on the square. You know, there's tons of other stuff around there. There's tasting rooms in walking distance. There's, if you want to just have a couple beers there, there's other great restaurants within walking distance. And, you know, if it's a nice day, they have a great outdoor patio you can go out and sit on, or a nice night, you can go out there and chill out. It's right on a creek, so it's kind of a nice scenic area out there. And really, you just got to enjoy it, and I enjoy it myself. So that's our second brew of the week. Again, week one was Moylan. This week was Bear Republic. Next week, you'll have to tune in to find out who our next brewery will be. And if you're, you know, somebody that owns a brewery, or you own the brewery yourself and you happen to be listening in the area, make sure you reach out to us here on Penguin Radio. We would love to have somebody from your brewery or have you call in. We'd love to have you on our show to talk about your brewery and what you guys bring to the table. All right, so we're out of time. We're going to head out of here for the evening. Want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight, and make sure you tune in to all the rest of the student programs that'll be coming up in the coming days. And make sure you also tune in to all the Penguin athletics that are coming up this year. Lacrosse, softball, I know are on the list, so stay tuned for all of that. And until next time, this has been Bros, Brews, and Bleachers with Jeff Safford. Tune in next Wednesday at 5 o'clock, and I'm out of here. Have a great night, everybody.